Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I will warn you fine people of SiriusXM today that my first guest is Richard Marx.
Damn right.
Now, I'm going to probably take him for a straight hour because I had this guy in on my morning show. And, I'm going to be honest with you. When Spice says, Richard Marx, I'm like...
Ugh. Like every guest I...
I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. Everybody trying to be a martyr around here. Martyr. Everybody trying to be a martyr. Look at me. Look at me. Spice Boy, I'm bad. I'm the
you
man.
Told me earlier. That's it.
I'm here for you, Bubba.
I know you are.
What a dick.
The guy who books
what
no guests.
What a pandering dick. Oh,
the guy who gets to leave when strippers arrive and books no guests. I'm here for
I'm
you.
I'm here for you, though.
So I'm like, Richard Marx, I don't know about that guy, man. I got to tell you, I am a fucking Richard Marx fan now.
You're a Mark for Marx.
I mean, yeah, I'm a Mark for Marx. Manson said, God, that guy's fucking money.
Would you say that you're into Marxism?
I am a Mark for Marx. So without further ado, man, let's bring him in. And I'm going to tell you guys, man, chances are we're going to go an hour with the guy. I mean, seriously.
It's pretty funny.
And he's fucking awesome on top of it all.
Well, yeah, and so, you know, usually if it's a stretch, but I'm just telling you fans right now that, we're going to probably go along with Richard.
And if they don't like it, what can they do?
Yeah, and if you don't like it, then,
get fucked.
Exactly. So I guess they're bringing him in right now. Miller, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great.
Are we getting ready to do a Moonshine Miller deal one of these days?
I love drinking. Anytime you want to drink.
Well, here comes Richard Marx. He's walking in.
He checked Miller's camera shot.
He's checking.
All right.
And, I was telling the story a few minutes ago, Richard, that when, Spice, I've already forewarned our satellite fans. I'm like, I'm going to probably take Richard as long as I can take him. Not to sound like I'm a homo or nothing. But,
I was going to say,
but,
wow, that sounds a little
weird.
I'm
talking about my cock size or anything like that. But I was like, because I think he can stay an hour, and I like to do a whole hour with you.
Oh, I can go an hour, baby.
Can you? Is that what Cynthia says?
Shit, yeah.
I'll go an hour, buddy. And so I'm like, I didn't know about this guy until I had him on my other show, and now I'm a real fucking groupie for this guy almost. I mean, I like this guy. So anyway,
can I tell you
I don't
a story
know if my endorsement means anything.
No, I feel like we've just gotten a
we've
bond.
Bonded, yes.
Yeah. It reminds me of something I haven't thought of in a long time. Years ago, I was playing a place, you probably know, it used to be called the Garden State Art Center.
Yeah.
In Jersey, mm-hmm. But so we were in town playing a show there, and I went and did Howard's show that morning.
Right.
And
regular radio too, just regular K-Rock.
Yeah, exactly. And at one point he asked me, how long, when you're having sex, how long can you go? And I said, whoa, does that include dinner and a movie? Or? And he said, no, like from penetration to end, how long can you go? What's your average? And I answered him honestly.
Which was?
15 minutes. And he said, that's just bullshit. He didn't say that,
he didn't believe it.
You're a liar.
He didn't think you could go that long?
He didn't think. I said, dude, I feel bad for your wife. If that's a shocking, long.
Right.
I think that's just, I don't think that's bragging. I think that's like, right.
I think Howard's got so much money, he feels he can't count some of his money while he's fucking, to be honest. He's like, this fucking time, I could be making interest on something.
Right. That's where he's, exactly. So cut to, he kind of calls me out and I'm like, dude, I'm not lying. I'm being honest. That's about an average. So cut to that night, we're playing Garden State Art Center, and people are always holding up signs and stuff like that. And I'm playing, and just at the end of the show, I wish I'd seen it earlier, at the end of the show, this really cute girl was holding up a sign that said, Richard, can you spare 15 minutes?
Nice. Nice.
Like, yeah.
Spice, I don't have my Richard Marx page on my
There's no
satellite.
More button bars. It's up there. The music's there. They're just, we can't transfer any music over because there's no room left.
Well, but, okay, then what under what fucking section is it on?
I got it right here.
I mean,
if my computer will work here.
Yeah, you already fucked up the whole deal earlier.
Yeah, fuck!
Yeah. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice that people can talk like the way men really talk? I mean, we're able to talk like men and we don't have to worry about being a bunch of homos and shit like that.
See, all his songs are there.
Well, no, they're not. I don't see it on my...
Is my Clay Aiken cover
on
there?
Yeah.
I'm going to play it over here.
If you want, I can scroll them over somewhere.
Yeah,
if you
scroll
want.
Them over. Like, what are they doing over there?
Because there's no room anywhere else. And if something's not there, then you...
I'm sorry you had
there.
To witness this bitch fight, Richard.
Fuck you, man.
No, but hold on. This is so unprofessional, Spice. Why wouldn't you have? I mean, you got shit that's not even relevant up there now. I mean, you got. I mean, seriously, why wouldn't you have a Richard Marx page?
Because sometimes you ask for irrelevant stuff.
I'm not going to ask for Frank Graziano Hulk Hogan, okay? Not when I have Richard Marx in here. When you have the Loverboy page fucking loaded up here? When that guy was in here?
I get confused with Mike Reno a lot.
Yeah, no, you really don't, to be honest with you. You might get confused with, you know, some other, but not Mike Reno.
No.
That guy's still living in, like, 1988. He needs to, like, Brent, he needs to get some elastic on that leather. Guys over 260 don't need to be wearing
leather.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
We've actually had one of your other friends in here before, Kevin Cronin. Now, that guy's money.
I love
old enough to be our father, I think, but man, I mean, God.
But he looks great for his age.
He does.
Amazing, yeah.
He sold out, though. He went from, you know, you stuck with your Illinois roots. He's out in L.A., you know, dabbling out there.
Yeah.
He probably made some money, though, didn't he?
I think so. He wrote a lot of those hits.
Now, did you know the Styx guys?
Ooh, that seems like a bad subject. Ooh, we finally got Richard Marx to shit on somebody here. Hold on.
No. I don't know.
Shit on him, Richard.
I don't know any of them. I've met Dennis a couple times. And
it was less than stellar.
Shit on him, Richard. Come on,
bring it, Rich.
I don't know the guy at all. I don't feel like I have very much in common with him.
Take a hot, steamy shit right on him.
So in 82, you didn't tell
him. Richard says, I feel we don't have a lot in common.
He lost me. The first time I met him, and he's always been very nice to me, but the first time I met him, we were doing some event in Chicago where he was performing and I was performing. We weren't playing together, and there were some, like, symphony musicians. They had like some symphony players on the show, which was pretty cool, these older guys. And we were walking off the stage and Dennis was like trying to be like we were bros or something. And
I can't even really imagine that.
And he said, look at those guys looking at us. It's like they haven't seen a couple of rock stars before. And I stopped and I looked and I said, did you just refer to yourself as a rock star?
He said, you're fucking right, I did, buddy.
And he said, no, I referred to us. I said, dude, speak for yourself and like I gotta go.
Oh man.
I can't believe he dissed the world's greatest vibrato. Dennis DeYoung.
Did you tell him in 82 Mr. Roboto is shitty?
Everything I got to Mr. Roboto.
I'm a Tommy Shaw fan.
Yeah.
No, Tommy Shaw is great.
Tommy Shaw is cool, and he's a really nice guy.
Now,
he doesn't refer to himself as a rock star.
Growing up in Chicago, you know, in the great radio that Chicago, probably one of the greatest radio cities, you know. Obviously the big three, New York, L.A., Chicago. No, not anymore. It's been, you know, fucking hacked.
Yeah, it's hideous.
But, like, you know, who did you grow up listening to?
Larry Lujack.
No, not personality-wise, artist-wise.
Oh, artist-wise? Everybody. My dad, who was a jingle composer and stuff, but my dad was a badass musician, so he played
Dick
me.
Dick Marks, ladies and gentlemen.
Dick Marks. Big Dick.
Yeah, Big Dick Marks.
Yeah.
You think he was well hung? I mean, in all honesty.
I never checked it out.
Well, I mean, like, I know my dad's probably average. You know, I've taken a few. Boy, I really feel
he's taking a few loads.
Wow.
He just loads.
A few ganders. Well, my dad and I would be
Gotta say, Bubba, you know what? I'm impressed because after all, I mean, I can't count the number of interviews I've done.
Right.
No one's ever asked me about the size of my dad's package.
Well, it was a natural tie in there, Richard. I can see the continuity. I saw where you were going.
Yeah,
so enough about you. Let's talk about your dad's dick.
Well, yeah, now hold on, fellas. Let me just back it up a little bit, Richard, motherfucker. You're not the one that called him Big Dick?
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, you know, you threw the adjective in there.
So
I didn't,
Bubba's
my
like,
friend.
Fuck this guy, Richard Marx. He's such a pussy.
I knew he was a fucking mullet-wearing motherfucker back in 89. I knew I used to make fun of him with having no chest hair, motherfucker.
Put some fucking bass in your voice, Richard Marx.
No. Actually, Richard Marx, I got to tell you, I'm most impressed because you were able to sing the Bee Gees a few minutes ago when we had you in here. And we all were like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's Richard Marx just singing the Bee Gees. You did say that your father, you called him Big Dick before I did. And,
yes.
You know, when you say the word Big Dick, you think that, you know, maybe a guy's well hung. Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
I have total white man's disease, so.
Yeah, most of us aren't well hung in here, I don't think, to be honest with you. Not that I've looked. Spice, you probably got the biggest dick of all, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, I think so, yes.
When in doubt,
weird,
just so.
Sure.
Yeah.
But who did you grow
up
with?
But the real question is, how big was my dad's dick? Like, that's really what the people debate. Yeah.
Your dad father's dick, man. How about AC/DC? Like, we all, I mean, you had to, you
of course.
Know, big AC/DC fans.
Of course.
Kiss?
No, I was never a Kiss fan.
Never into Kiss fan. No, never into Kiss.
Can't blame you.
But
on
I've
that
got
one.
Some. I've ha- I
How dare you?
I've gotten to hang out with Gene Simmons a couple times, and he's cool. But
well, that motherfucker can make some money now, can't he?
Oh no! But
how big's his dick?
I don't know, but
his dad's dick is huge.
He's probably got. But you know, knowing Gene Simmons, he's probably got Polaroids of his dick. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Probably
10,000 of them.
Now, back in the day, I don't know who had better hair, you or Gene Simmons. Like, you both had serious volume happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Gene's got volume anymore.
No, but he's got a lot of money.
He's got a lot more money.
Gene Simmons has paid.
He can buy all the hair he needs.
Motherfucker's never had an agent. He said, when I find somebody that deserves 10% of my money, I'll let you know. I haven't found it yet.
Gene's a good guy, a really good guy.
I know the last time they came to town about 8 years ago, Brent, Hogan and I were in the backstage area, and Gene was settling up with the building that night.
I was back there, yeah.
He was back there settling up.
He wanted a merch count.
He said
he told his guys to get me a merch.
Oh,
count.
And they get it. And you know what? They're one of the very few, but they get a cut of concessions.
I didn't know that.
Uh huh. And he wanted a cup count and everything. I mean, he's like, wow. Oh, you'd have no idea. I
you're
mean,
not,
he,
you're not. You're
he's
not.
A, he's Jew. I mean, he's a Jewish man. A very smart man.
I was recording at a studio in L.A. years ago, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And you know, it's $2,000 a day or something like that for the studio. I mean, it wasn't cheap. And Gene came in. He just walked into the control room where I was sitting there, and he's like, "Man, how you doing?" He gives me a hug, and he said, "Listen, I need a favor.
I need a favor.
It's Paul Stanley's birthday, and I have 4 strippers, and we need a place to surprise him with the strippers. Can we use your because every studio has a lounge,
right?"
He was like, "Can I use?" And he offered to pay me like a fraction of my studio.
If you pay $2,000, I'll give you
$122,
like, Richard.
Dude, use the lounge. Just, you know.
Everything comes with a price.
Yeah.
Richard, I know you wouldn't want those whores in there, but I'll give you $126.46.
It was a business transaction. I was like, dude.
Shake right here and mean it like a man.
I said, "Dude, I'm your buddy. Use the lounge. Strip away."
At least he offered to pay.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
Are you familiar with OAR, the band OAR?
Yeah.
We had them in here, and I didn't know if you guys if you've heard of those guys. They've kind of lately done it the new style way with regards to, they started out of Columbus, right, Spice, and in Ohio State.
They did the college campus circuit.
Did they ever really get a label, Spice? Or they've been
They're signed to a label, but their deal is really unique with the label. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
they're able to have a lot of control over it. And
Mark's probably
really
the next coolest guy next to Richard. You know, Mark and the boys that we've had in here. They were the great bunch of guys too. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Now, when it comes to bands that are going around, like I know you wrote a song on Lifehouse's new album.
You
right?
are Spice. You are so fucking well researched. It's unbelievable.
I know everything about you. I even know how big your grandfather's dick
fuck
is.
Fuck that. Hold on, Richard. Fuck him, because you know he didn't have to sit here and keep the show moving around. He sits there as computer nerd boy fuck, and you know we're not even paying attention to what we're saying, and he's googling shit
over there.
All about
Richard interested in what Richard
Wikipedia
has to say.
But he knows that I wrote a song on the new Lifehouse.
Yeah,
album.
You know,
which I'm a big fan of Lifehouse.
He could probably tell you about Cynthia's in the Flashdance and the Xanadu and all that shit, just because
Dirty
nothing
Dancing.
He cares.
She was in Toto's video.
But he's got all she that was. Shit right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's allowed to cheat because he doesn't have to hold the show up like I do.
That's called
But yes,
research.
Lifehouse. Lifehouse? You were going somewhere.
Well, Lifehouse is one of those bands. It's sort of like, along the same vein as OAR as far as like talent goes,
yeah.
I think. You know, so when you write a song for Lifehouse, do you demand points or cash? Or is it, I mean,
of course he does.
Is it like,
you think he's an idiot like you are and does things for fucking
you
free?
You mean up front?
Yeah, like what's your plan with Lifehouse? Because I'm sure they're your boys.
Listen, let me tell you something. Lifehouse and Daughtry, and the Lifehouse song was me and Chris Daughtry and Jason from Lifehouse.
That okay.
We wrote that song together. Lifehouse has been on my iPod ever since Hanging by a Moment, okay?
Yep.
So when a band like that I'm a fan of anyway wants me to like come and help them out with their shit,
you giving them a freebie?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's
well,
cool.
No, I mean,
wow.
if the song makes money,
sellout.
I make whatever, you know.
Okay.
Make.
All right. Well,
so he gets a full writing
but
credit.
But I don't ever, I don't know of anybody that charges like a fee to come and walk in the room and write a song.
Unlike you, Spice, to charge people to go to their, you know,
well, I thought that's what it's all about. I mean, to write a song for somebody. I thought that's,
if you're
like,
a scumbag,
that's an interesting idea, though.
What about,
backside points.
What about the art, Spice?
I agree with you, but I mean, fuck,
like,
man.
If some artist,
if you're
that
good
I wasn't
at what you do, somebody's
got to
pay for it.
Spice is the most selfish asshole we know, fellas.
No,
I mean,
no,
you
but
know.
I, but I
right.
like,
you can never be a rock star.
I like where this is going, because if it was an artist that I wasn't really a fan of, and they were like, "Hey, we want you to come and write a song," I'd be like, "Okay, I want this much money before I even get in the car."
Well, yeah, I mean, you're obviously a great songwriter. You should be paid handsomely for your talents to write a song that's going to be great for some other band.
Yeah, it's just not how we do it.
Speaking
it
of sucks. iPods, can I give you the one song? Because I played him. He
Bubba
was,
went away.
He, yeah. Because what I was, Spice was being a fucking asshole. Oh. So anyway, this is the one guy that's kind of in your era.
Okay.
And it kind of has that, you know, not necessarily like the most toughest guy type deal, but man, I'm such a group. And there's not a guy in this room that this particular song doesn't pick you up. Every time I play this off my iPod, even you, Brent, the most hard-nosed, you know, Kiss, Danzig, Henry Rollins, Misfits, shit that you like,
right.
This song always gets us in a great mood. And I wanted to get your opinion on either the artist or the song, okay?
Okay.
Stand by. Do Do you know? Are you and Bruce friends?
No, I've met him, but we're not friends at all. But that's my second favorite Hornsby song.
Seriously,
my favorite is Every Little Kiss Down. Yeah. Little.
Oh yeah, this puts us in such, this song here just puts us in such a great mood for some reason.
Yeah, but you know what? It's okay for guys to like Bruce Hornsby because, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. Like he was never a pussy and he never did anything.
Just tickling the ivories.
He's got a ton of talent. I mean, that's yeah. what I
made a lot
ton
of money.
Of talent. Yeah. And he played with the Dead.
Yeah. Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played with the Dead.
So. Can I tell you our other song? I want to get your opinion. So is this a decent song? I mean, the way it is?
It's a great song.
Okay, so you like that.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. Yeah, it's a great song.
Brent, can I show him? You know the other song I'm going to play. What's the one that when I need to pick me up? Don't say it. I think okay. you know. Hold on, standby. I wanted to get Richard Marx's opinion on it. Bruce Hornsby was my first one. I got to find it.
I like that. I got a Henry Rollins story for you too.
Oh, please,
that's our boy.
Please say it. Why I find it off my iPod?
Really?
Yes, please. Because so Henry's a very good friend of ours.
Okay, well then you can help me out with this. There's some stupid show on VH1 that was on years ago when they would have people who have nothing better to do that would come on and comment on other people's
they still
accomplishments.
Do that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like the pop-up talking heads guys.
Well, Henry was one of those people.
Uh-huh.
That you know because he had nothing else to do, I guess. So he was commenting on the other people that they were profiling, and one of the people on the show was me. And I've never met this guy in my life, but his comment was, "You know what? I used to write letters to him to just say, just quit."
That's Hank.
He was so his hatred for me was so like it was palpable. It was.
Yeah, but you want to know the fucked up part? He probably did write letters. Like, that's his style.
Yeah, he probably did.
Yeah.
And then somebody asked me about it, and I said, you know, am I supposed to be worried about what some guy who looks like somebody's prison bitch thinks about me?
Don't ever say that to his face. He's a big, thick dude.
Oh, he's a mean motherfucker.
Well, guess what?
I don't think even Richard Marx would run to the same
sing a Henry Rollins song. Quick.
You're a liar!
Oh, man.
Hold on, I want to play this.
I want a battle between Rollins and Richard Marx.
I like that.
Now, Richard, I wanted to get your opinion on this song. Okay, I know you know it.
Okay,
and this is my favorite song. Probably Brent. I wouldn't say my favorite song in life, but just like when I need a pick me up. Oh, look at everybody.
Really?
Yeah. Hold
on.
That's
an awesome song.
Now you're fagging me out on that one, Richard. I had to pop up on that one now. No, really.
No, he's pissed.
No, I'm not pissed.
I'm not ragging on it.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's CSNY, right?
Yeah. Well, look, he even shortened it up, CSNY.
Yeah.
So the new...
I don't think Neil Young is on this.
No, he is.
Something Road. Mm-hmm. No.
Southern Cross.
It's good, yeah.
I just like the, you know what, I just like the harmony.
I got nothing against it.
Kind of like the old Chicago shit back in the day, like 25, 6, 2, 4.
Robert Lamb, he was the badass.
They don't make shit like that anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't.
I mean, I don't necessarily know what the meaning of Southern Cross is. I've never really listened to the words. I just like how they come in and harmonize, like the sweet, sweet Judy Blue Eyes. I just kind of, I mean, you know.
See, when I'm in a pissy mood or if I'm kind of down, the one song that never fails is, Do You Remember...
Oh, God, who sings that?
First night of September.
Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Just
strong.
That intro.
Yeah.
Yep. How about this right here?
The horns.
You just can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong with that. Oh.
Saturday in the Park?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Robert Lamb, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. This one you're growing up to, WLS? The Big 89? But, I mean, listen to those horns. You don't hear stuff like that. Yeah. You just don't hear shit
those
like that.
Those horns are killer.
Oh, there's some black guys like some Dizzy Gillespie's playing that horns. Think of some studio musicians. What do you think?
No, that's all guys from the band.
Oh, it is.
It's a big band.
How big was the band?
It was a big
huge
band.
Nobody made any money.
Waiting for the break of day.
We had who was the guy, Brent, from who was the guitar? Leslie West.
Leslie West.
From Mountain.
From was it from Mountain?
Mountain, yeah.
And Mississippi Queen. Remember Mississippi Queen?
Yeah.
And we had him in here, and he got so pissed off because we had Guitar Hero with his song on it.
We had to play it.
And he couldn't play it, and he was so fucking pissed off.
This isn't the guitar.
This ain't the fucking guitar.
Fucking bullshit.
That's bullshit. Ain't how it's supposed to go. Like, well, then you play it. He goes, I don't fucking... Well.
But then he picked up his real guitar and fucking schooled everybody.
That's true.
So,
yeah. Now, speaking of which, Richard, I mean, can you play anything for us?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know...
I have a request.
See, not only is he a singer, but he can actually fiddle a little bit, too.
I have a request, and as long as we're here talking...
The Lifehouse song?
No. But
no, because that's what I'd like to play.
Oh,
well, cool. Why would that be good?
As long as we're here talking shit about people, I noticed you don't take too kindly to John Mayer sometimes about some of the...
Hey, his body's a wonderland.
Being, like, self-indulged. Like, I personally... I like John Mayer's music and stuff like that, but you wrote a song about John Mayer, which is on YouTube, and it's pretty funny.
Who did? Richard did?
Yeah, live in a concert.
We got to get that.
John's kind of started. John dissed me on VH1.
Same kind of thing?
People go on VH1 and they diss me. So I did a gig right after all this stuff broke. Because, you know, next to Chris Brown actually beating down a girl, the next worst thing is to, like, you know, talk shit about a girl in print. It's lame.
And say how good she is in bed.
So I wrote this song. You want to hear?
Yeah, this is great.
Richard Marx, ladies and gentlemen, with his John Mayer.
Ain't nobody that he holds dearer than the face he sees in the mirror. He hangs on his own every word. It's the sweetest sound he's ever heard. And he makes one thing very clear. Nobody loves John Mayer as much as John Mayer. And it must be hard to breathe in such rarefied air. He gives interviews about tapping that ass. Yeah, he gives new meaning to having no class. And nobody loves John Mayer as much as John Mayer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a hit.
I like that. That's
kind of catchy.
That's real catchy.
Yeah, you should actually put that on a record.
Yeah, right?
But there's no more B-sides.
Some of my finest work.
Remember when we were growing up, there used to be B-sides.
B-sides,
Richard,
right, exactly.
Now there's no such thing as B-sides.
Pretty much all B-sides.
Yeah, now they're just, download willies. now what do you got for us acoustic-wise here, Richard?
I can play whatever you want.
Well, I mean, I'm going to play.
Could you play Mississippi Queen by Mountain?
I can play one of my oldies, or I can play this new Lifehouse song.
I'll hear the new Lifehouse, followed by one of your oldies, followed by Staying Alive, in that order. Hey, Big Dick, have somebody go to...
No, I'm Little
see
Dick.
If you can find me... Oh, that's Big Dick over there. I'm talking about your dad. See if you can find me the acoustic version of Staying Alive, if you guys can get that off. And I'm on that website that Manson uses.
Am I playing now?
Yeah, oh yeah, whatever. This is your place.
This is the song I wrote with Jason and Chris.
Loneliness pacing up and down these hallways, second guessing every thought, mystified, just spinning around in circles, drowning in the silence, screaming with nothing left to say.
Nice, nice. How about one of the classics, though? How about the one that you made the most money off of? Well, we got the handler in here. He wants to make a couple of adjustments so he can validate his job. That's just a validation of job right there. You're like, man, Richard,
yep, you're good.
Off.
I'm still on payroll.
Well, this is the one we were talking about. My mother came to Hazard when I was just 7. Even then, the folks in town said with prejudice died. That boy's not right. 3 years ago when I came to know Mary, first time that someone looked beyond the rumors and the lies, I saw the man inside. We used to walk down by the river. She loved to watch the sun go down. We Like that.
All right, my nice. Friend. All right. Now, a lot of people, as we're on Sirius Satellite Radio now, they didn't get to hear the earlier part, but actually Richard, in back in the day type deal, when even us DJs were looking for jobs, you had to get a cassette and send it out to a program director when they used to have cassettes, and you try to get a good quality one, like a Maxell or something like that, or a chromed one, or right. Adobe
the
chromes SR.
Were like, ooh, yeah. They're too expensive, though.
Yeah. Right. And so you try to get it going like it mattered. And Richard actually sent his stuff from the Chicagoland area to L.A., Hollywood, EMI. Everybody turned him down. And it finally, somehow, somebody of a somebody of a somebody of a somebody got his demo. Now, on that demo, Richard, what was on that demo? Was it just your backing vocals of your dad's jingles, or was it actual
no.
stuff?
It was my song. It was my first handful of songs.
Now, what were those? Anything that we ever heard?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Here's a song that every record company turned down.
Every record company. Now, and this is one that Lionel heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone said that's shit.
Yeah, and it wasn't like it was a really bad version of what became the record. It was
right.
the demo became the record.
Do you right. think they didn't hear it and they just pass it off, or did they actually call you and go, yeah, that's not for us?
A lot of times you don't even get a call back, do
a lot
you,
of times you don't get a call back. There were a couple of people that were specific, and they were like, you know, we don't hear hits, you don't look right.
Now look right. Did they see your hair?
They saw the mullet.
Yeah. I had the mullet too.
Yeah, he had the fucked up mullet. Yeah.
Rocking the mullet.
He was smuggling a poodle on top of his head. And but let me ask you a question.
You
were
so 80s.
Now what? Now what had you done though? This is at 16, 17, right? 17-ish.
Yeah.
In Chicago. Now, you know, what had you done? Like, had you been performing in little gigs, or had you been doing stuff up prior to that? Anything at all?
Not really. I mean, I didn't come up. I was not a guy that played in bands and stuff.
And just
I didn't start playing live until
was it,
the first
was it acoustic
came
like
out.
That or was it just
no it was pretty studio-y
using your dad's stuff or just places
yeah.
that he recorded in.
Well, my dad had this amazing studio in Chicago. I mean, he was because he was so busy as a jingle composer and producer. But
and that's the infamous who?
Dick Marks.
Cool.
Big Dick. But he used to. I had to pay for studio time, just like everybody else. My dad made me pay for it.
What was studio time going
well,
for?
He
back
was a
then?
Big dick.
I think he cut me a break. But
your dad was like Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Because Gene Simmons would have charged.
He's like,
for
I gotta teach
time.
This kid a fucking lesson now, motherfucker. No, there's nobody rides free on Big Dick's tab,
hey,
buddy.
You know
I'm telling
what?
You right now.
No. Like I had to pay
he'll
for
tell
my
you
first
I,
car.
I busted my ass to get where I am today, Richard. I'm telling you that right now. Nothing's for free. I had to walk 900 miles uphill.
And I really appreciated it, and I understood it.
I had to walk Colonel Elgin one time to date your mom.
And I and I do the same thing with my boys, and right. they're like, fuck you.
No, fuck grandpa for starting all.
Now, when it comes to the jingle stuff, I know you mentioned one on the earlier show, but your dad, he was a jingle composer. What were some of the most famous ones that he came up with?
When a boy wakes up, a smiling face has been dreaming about raisin land, and there's two scoops of raisins in a package of Kellogg's Raisin Brand.
Any others?
Ask any mermaid you happen to see. What's the best tuna?
Chicken of the sea.
My dad wrote that.
And you're still getting paid on it.
No. But no, that was the thing that was so fucked about the jingle business is that the composers, you had to sell your song to the client.
Like, you got a one-timer.
But the volume of work he was doing 3 and 4 sessions a day, and he produced them, so he did great, but he didn't make the kind of coin that songwriters do. He didn't get the royalties on.
Now, was he?
Because if he would have gotten the royalties, like on the two scoops of raisins and the chicken, I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
He would have been in a jet.
Now, you always like going around, like I was talking to your manager, and he was saying you'll go around like humming shit and you'll write it down and stuff like that. So I could imagine you humming stuff as a kid. Would your dad rip off any of your shit?
I don't know. That's a good question. He didn't need any help. I mean, my dad was just like, he could come up with a hook. Under pressure, right now. I mean, he was
like, you have a client, you know, like Kellogg, something. Boom.
Yeah,
he'd have it.
Yeah. My dad was a badass, and he was a brilliant musician too. So,
what'd your dad think of all, you know, when you, you know, when you were really hitting it hard,
he was really,
30 million records.
He was really proud. And we got to work together. My dad, you know, I had this big hit called Now and Forever.
Oh, yeah.
Another sappy pussy love song. that was a big hit for me, and there's a string quartet on it, and he did the arrangement on that, and he's in the video.
Now, did you ever get somewhat, you know, being a very established guy in the industry, did you ever say, Richard, you know, you might want to do something this and do something that, or was he?
No,
you know?
He was great. I mean, we were best friends. I mean, he gave me tremendous business advice. He taught me early on about the business part of the music business.
Right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Which is horrible.
Which is brutal, but you know, it's why I kept my publishing. I mean, I would have signed away my rights a long time
ago.
Did
you stash your money? I mean, like from the start, like when you got that first check, were you going out blowing it?
No.
Were you like, fuck?
No.
I don't know how long this is going to go
for. Look at him. He's conservative.
Chicago guys.
He's a white boy. He's not fucking 50 cents.
We don't do that. We don't do that.
Well, I'm asking a question. No batter, man.
No, I'm just saying, it's a stupid ass question. Look at
that. Part of it is just sort of the Midwest Chicago thing. I think, you know, we're just sort of inherently more responsible or whatever.
What was that first big check you got? Like, you know,
that knocked your socks off. That said, holy shit, I'm getting paid.
It took a while, you know. The money comes a lot later.
Like a year.
It was at least a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I was still.
Was it a million?
I was still no, but it was probably half a million.
Honey, look at this fucking shit.
Well, we did have a nice dinner that night. That's for right. Sure.
Did it beat her Flashdance Xanadu worldly?
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Here's the genius part of it. When Cynthia did Dirty Dancing, she had already had a couple of hit movies, Flashdance and Staying Alive with John Travolta. And Dirty Dancing was made for, I think, $4 million or something like that, or maybe even less than that.
It's still making money today.
Well, yeah. they couldn't pay her what she was, you know, getting at that time.
Oh, backside.
So I said,
she got backside, Willie.
Tell them you'll do it for a point.
Just one measly little point.
And they gave her a point.
Oh, shit.
And we've had to sue them like 10 times to get her money.
And then you had to get like a forensic accountant to go in there and all that bullshit.
You know what? And that's sort of like, that's in all her money goes to charity, which is really cool.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
What's her charity of choice, Richard?
We have a charity trust.
Okay.
You know, so that it sort of distributes to a bunch of different charities that we
see. She's got some good roots. She's a Nashville girl.
She's a Nashville
so,
girl.
So, you know, you didn't date some thug-ass bitch from L.A. you found a good girl from Nashville.
No, I dated the thug-ass bitch from L.A. before I started dating Cynthia.
Right,
so
and found out that that's not
difference.
Where you wanted to be.
Yeah,
exactly. When you had to sell your soul to get a record deal.
Yeah.
Spice, what are you going to say?
Well, I was going to ask, how much did it affect her when Patrick Swayze passed away? Was it one of those things where you guys both were crushed, or were you like, all right, whatever?
No, it wasn't. It was neither. They weren't really close. She and Jennifer Grey are friendly. She didn't really.
Did you guys go to the funeral?
No. We weren't really friends with him. Felt bad, but I mean.
That's about it.
No, I mean, it was sad.
Right,
the guy was young, but I mean, pancreatic cancer, it's game over. No, I mean, I don't.
Yeah,
mean,
you're
I don't
right, though. I mean, yeah, there was,
I don't
there
mean
there
to be flip about it. It's like, you know, Michael Landon had pancreatic. I mean, all these guys that are seen like such virile, healthy guys. It's not like any other kind of pancreatic cancer. You're fucked. You're just fucked. So it was really sad. Yeah. But thanks for keeping the interview so positive.
Now,
Spice.
Yeah, you can
want to talk about starving children in India now?
No, and, but you can see my pain. Kinda. He's like, I call him a counter programmer. He's just a fucking asshole. You know, well, come on now. We all going to sit here and just make me leave like that didn't happen. Now, she was in the video for Toto. Was she in Toto's video?
Yeah, she was Rosanna in the Rosanna
video. Yeah, she was the Rosanna.
Yeah.
That was a big song.
Walking along the fence. Oh, yeah. That was before I met her.
That was before you'd made it, too, wasn't it?
Well, it was way before I made it, but it was before I met her.
Well, I know that. I mean,
okay, you don't have to yell.
No.
Now you're pissed at me. I'm just because I'm sitting next to Spice.
See, Richard, he's such a fucking asshole. He, you know.
Spice, at the end of the day, don't forget who signed your paycheck, asshole. I fucking signed your paycheck.
I know.
So anyway, Richard, I wanted to know.
It's like I say to Billy. Hey, man, there's a fine line between humor and unemployment.
Exactly. And that cheesy mustache that you're kicking, sometimes it's funny, and sometimes looks like a child molester. I don't fucking like that.
He does have a van with the windows all blacked out. It's weird.
You're either a Key West, either you're a cop or you're a homo. I don't quite understand.
And just because he carries chloroform and duct tape with him everywhere we go.
He might be on the not to be trusted list.
Maybe.
I'm telling you that right now.
Maybe.
He might be on the no fly list just on that cheesy ass mustache.
Since you were a solo musician, like to start, when you had to get a band, was it tough to choose a band to kind of travel with it all, or were you?
No, it's real. I was pretty smart about that because I, like we were talking about, I didn't come up, you know, playing in clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
So when I started, when I put up my first band together, I was a newbie, and so I surrounded myself not only with good players but guys that were road veterans. So my guitar player was a guy named Paul Warren, who I'm still friends with, and he had already toured with Tina Turner and some other people. So
did you
pay
them very, very well, or was
no,
it sort of
we
standard?
All got shit money. We were staying at the fucking Days Inn every day. You know, it was just or on the bus. Mm-hmm. If we had a bus. I mean, the first couple of months, it was a van. I mean, it was like classic dues paying, dude. And that was with a hit song,
and now
by
you
the
got
way.
Fucking Adam Lambert out there rolling around in a goddamn tour bus wearing guyliner.
Wow.
I keep
having people tell me that they think that he sounds like me.
No, I didn't say that. I know who the fuck he is. I know who you are. I don't know who Adam Lambert is.
But, I mean, he doesn't sound like me, right?
No.
And I'm not hating on him. I'm not hating on him at all.
But
I
did hear you
can
sound like Barry and or Andy Gibb.
I can.
Swear.
This instrumental?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Come on now.
Except I don't know the lyrics.
That's okay. Just pull it. Here we go.
Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. No time at all. Music loud, women warm. I've been kicked around since I was born. You know it's alright, it's okay. You may look the other way, but we can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feel the city breaking and everybody shaking, and we're staying alive, staying alive. Ha, 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 staying alive, staying alive.
Now,
catch
that,
me in a couple hours,
now,
for God's
Richard,
sake.
Richard, is that an all-time first? Have you? And, you know, you've done a couple things now today on the radio. You have. We've talked about your father's penis, and we've now had you do your karaoke version of "Staying Alive." That might be first on both.
Sadly, that's true.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I hope we don't go down in infamy.
But can
as
you
being
do Robin Gibb? You can do Barry Gibb, but can you do Robin Gibb?
I don't know what Robin sounded like.
I can't really distinguish.
Was he able to get the cock out of his mouth long enough to be able to sing?
It's hard to sing with a cock in your mouth, it turns out.
I've not done it before, but one would say.
I can only do the opening line of this song, but it sounds like this. I started a joke, which started the old world laughing. Maybe I couldn't see. It sounds like Roddy McDowell or something.
Barbara Streisand.
Now, you told me you like this one.
This is a great song. People forget this song.
I was perceptive. I knew you liked this.
And this is Barry Gibb singing like a dude.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
He's not falsetto?
Well, he gets high later, but check it out. This is how great he was.
He untucked his cock and decided to get his balls back.
This is him as a guy.
In a room full of strangers.
It's a great song.
Strangers.
Standing in the dark.
Put my cock out.
Where your eyes couldn't see.
Here comes Robin.
Here's Robin.
Well, I have to follow you.
They had to throw him a bone.
Though you did not want me to, that won't stop my loving you. I can't stay away. Blaming it all.
I'm believing it all.
On the nights on Broadway.
Blaming on the nights on Broadway.
Singing the song. Singing it.
That's Richard Marx, by the way. We didn't know that he was such a big Bee Gees fan. I don't know if we brought it up or he did. And we're like, oh, we were actually talking about them a few days ago. Remember that?
Yeah,
is,
we were.
This
yeah.
is going a long way to prove Henry Rollins' point. But.
Listen, dude, I wrote him a letter and said, you get the fuck out of the business, buddy. Hey, tell Henry, you know, a guy that sold 30 million records, you want him to get out of the business. Come on, Henry, lighten up.
Well, just so you
know, we know he's trying to
so
say the West Memphis 3.
You got to understand where he's coming from when he's saying that is because I was one of his fans. Because I know. Because
okay, I'm just asking. Why is everybody so fucking confrontational around here?
Because I'm trying to finish a sentence. Okay.
Around here, it's impossible with me being the fucking boss. Continue on.
Like Black Flag and the Misfits and the punk rock scene in the early 80s, uh-huh. The whole deal was to hate anyone that the mainstream accepted. So it wasn't necessarily
Yeah, but you know what?
You.
Here's where it's bullshit. Here's where I call bullshit.
That's right. Say it, Richard Marx. Fucking
then
bullshit.
Then I've seen him. He had that like cheesy interview show, and he had like major like corporate rock people on, and he was sucking their cocks on the show.
But that's now. I'm talking about where he's coming from then.
But this was just a couple years ago. Because
they're
that
asking,
guy. Fuck
well,
that
now,
guy.
But hold on, Brent. I love Henry too, but I mean, he kind of he sold out the corporate if he's on pop-up videos.
He's not on. Well, he's on VH1. They probably.
What Brent said, I think what Brent's saying is when they did the pop-up video interview, he was referring to his attitude back
in
then
the
in the 80s.
Yeah.
But either way,
we're all trying to cover.
If you want to tell him to go fuck himself, that's
right
up to
now
you,
we're both in a we're,
again,
not, we're
again,
a little bit of a slippery spot because
again,
we're trying to be friends with both people. We're trying to be whorish to both.
But quick, sing a Henry Rollins song. Okay.
You're a liar.
Party tonight,
and you lied.
Hey, somebody emailed me. It says that they go Richard Marx was the original Justin Timberlake. He was the first white guy I ever saw on BET with a mullet. Did you get play on BET?
Yeah.
Which song?
That's pretty fucking awesome.
It was this song called "I Don't Know Why I." Keep coming back to you, babe. I had Luther Vandross singing background
vocals. Yeah, that's
on.
A little bit of a kind of a hip deal.
Yeah, it was cool.
You miss Luther? That guy was the
Very
man, dude.
Very much. He was the best.
That guy was fucking awesome.
And he was the funniest fucking guy you ever met in your life.
Was that a heart attack deal?
Stroke.
Stroked out. Too heavy. Yeah.
Was it too heavy?
Yeah, he was.
He's a big guy. Yeah,
shitty.
Now, you know, a lot of people, as we started talking about earlier, the Lionel Richie deal. Do you still keep in contact with Lionel? I mean, he gave you your break. He this is when he made his first. Was it his first solo album?
Yeah,
and it was and he couldn't find the right background,
right,
and
right.
He said, "Hey," and then somebody said, "Well, there's this kid from somebody handed me something. It's got a 312 fucking area code," and he called you. And you guys spent 30 minutes on the phone.
Yeah,
and you thought it was your boy screwing with you.
I thought somebody was fucking with me.
So are you guys still in contact?
I
a little
fingered
bit?
A girl
not
in Mishawaka,
really.
Indiana.
Not like in a not in a bad way. It's just, you know, like we're
Richard, it's me, Lionel. Boobity, you owe me everything, motherfucker. Give me some money.
Nicole's going through a real tough fucking time, man. I need some money for baby mama.
Write me a song, bitch.
He had me sing on this song. You are the sun. You are the rain. Remember that song?
That was strong.
That was eight.
I went to, listen to this, it was like 1980.
I probably shouldn't have given her address.
Yeah. I think it was, was this solo album 81, 82?
82.
Yeah. I went to Mishawaka, Indiana, and we went to Showbiz Pizza. And then we went to,
Real
that.
Romantic.
Imagine that, me going to a fucking pizza joint. And she was hot, and me and my friend Larry Plumber picked up these two bitches in Mishawaka, and then we went to the Showbiz Pizza, and then they wanted to buy a record, an album, back when they used to have 30, albums. Boy, Mr. Chester Lester Mustache is on point, isn't he? He can adjust your guitar brand and give you a cup of coffee.
He's giving me my voice brew.
And we went out and bought the new Lionel Richie solo album. And so we went down to her A-frame, and her dad was gone. He was like a traveling salesman, and I fingered the shit out of her while Lionel was on.
Lionel had a fuzzy mullet.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like you're talking, over your head?
Talking in code.
Yeah, talking in code.
Lionel had the black mullet.
Oh, I thought you said fuzzy moment.
Fuzzy mullet.
I was like, Lionel fingered her too? I didn't even know that, man. She was quite whorish.
How many fingers did you get in her?
Oh, I don't even know back then. I mean, I think I was just glad to be in the general proximity. I mean, back then.
Now clap.
Yeah. I mean, when you were growing up in the Midwest, like me and Richard, we're almost the same age. You're only like 3 years older than me, Richard. I think. What are you, 47?
I'm 46.
Oh, you're 2 years older than me. So, I mean, you know, I was a sophomore in high school. I just got my driver's license. And for a girl to be giving you some, just to even be rubbing her pussy, I mean, that was a big deal. When did you first get laid? I didn't get laid until
about
I was
4 years
senior.
Ago.
Yeah, really?
I was 42.
Now, what about Ringo Starr? How was he?
Awesome.
Yeah, not a bad word to say about Ringo.
Hey, way to cut me off on my subject. I was going to talk about his virginity there.
Oh, go
fucking Ringo Starr.
It's a boring story.
Kind of more boring than me, man. I was born a fat kid in Warsaw, Indiana until I became famous on radio and I get no pussy, hardly.
Yeah, I got laid way late. Late.
Mine was a freshman in college.
Yeah, I was almost that.
See, you're not as much a loser as I am, are you?
Just barely.
Thanks for heckin' hanging me out.
It could have been a matter of months, buddy.
But wait a second. You were singing all these sappy songs and writing all this stuff, and you couldn't get any. You couldn't parlay that in
the
pussy.
What the fuck are you calling sappy?
That's what he was writing. That's what he was writing those fucking sappy songs about. Not getting no pussy. It's endless nights and fucking without you. I'm waiting for you.
I was like, I didn't get that. You know, if I'd been like the kind of guys that were getting laid, were the kind of guys like, hey, bitch, they were getting laid.
Right. Right.
I was like holding doors open for girls and like,
and that was getting
singing
you
them songs.
Girls
at,
want you to beat
time.
Them deep down. I mean, you know, look at Rihanna. She wants to get her ass whipped. I mean, seriously. I mean, girls. I mean, Brent. Every girl's got a sick dart wanting to get beat side to them.
Ringo.
Over to Ringo.
Ringo. I toured with Ringo about 3 years ago on one of those tours, and I just had the greatest time. He's the best.
Any cool stories from Ringo?
He wouldn't do this, I'm sure. But
no, he wouldn't do this. No.
Paul McCartney does Howard.
Yeah, Paul, but God, have you seen his fucking writer? I mean, even Howard's over it. It's like, I mean, seriously. Oh, yeah.
A writer just to come on the show?
Well, I mean, and then I guess they wanted him to sign a guitar for the, you know, for something, and it was like a big fucking rigmarole on that deal, and like seven handlers had to get involved, and then like all these, and then on the rebroadcast, maybe I'm saying shit I shouldn't be, but I'm
no.
but on the rebroadcast, and the rebroadcast had to be edited. In the whole fucking nine yards, and Paul McCartney's lawyers, the stupid ass lawyers that weren't involved to give him a fucking prenup, those people finally got. Maybe they're trying to get their worth now.
Because they're upset because Howard told him when he was on regular radio before he got married, he's like, "You got a prenup?" And Paul McCartney's like, "No." He's like, "What are you? What are you? An
well,
idiot?
Look what happened."
Idiot?
Yeah.
Now what about you?
No, that one legged bitch took my
when you had all these beggars and hangers on. I'm sure back in the day when you were on tour and stuff like that, like 87 and 90. Did you have the same kind of overthinking going on? And do you know what's going on like the whole time? Were you like, chill the fuck out. I'll sign this. It's not a big deal. Or did you have people telling you not to do
stuff? That happens a lot in the business, Richard. I mean, we've seen a lot of it where the artist will be like, hey, we've been trying to get a hold of you. And they're like,
yeah, the artist is cool as shit.
That's par for the course. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've run into people after the fact and they were like, yeah, it's too bad you couldn't do that thing. And I go, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, stuff that I would have loved to have done.
Because the guy with the fucking cheesy ass mustache over there is being a dick to people.
I wouldn't fire anybody over it, but it was.
Oh, I
would.
I'd kick their ass.
It was a drag because there were some really great things that I would have, you know, loved to have been a part of.
Now, obviously, he's been with you like 21 years. Did you ever have to tell him, hey, fire this person for me or tell them to chill the fuck out?
Oh, yeah, he's had to fire people.
Really?
He's been, I mean, Billy started out as my sound man. He's still my sound man, but I mean, he does a lot of, he's my tour manager.
Billy just
as well.
Keeps hanging on, buddy. He won't let go. You're the gravy train.
Billy's been with me 23 years.
Is he an Illinois boy?
He's an Ohio boy.
Okay. What part of Ohio, Billy? Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, we were in there for a couple years, weren't we? On Zeta or something like that?
Yes, we were.
Something like that.
Billy used to work for this guy. Remember Henry Lee Summer?
Oh, hold on. Everybody stop, bitch. Hold on. Billy, get Billy on the fucking microphone. I got goosebumps, motherfucker.
I was telling them this in the kitchen.
Hold on. Are you setting me up?
No.
This is true.
Yeah, wait to hear this. Yeah.
Pre-meth.
No, yeah, pre-meth. I'm the first DJ.
Wish I had a girl?
No, before that, Wingtip Shoes and all that.
Wingtip Shoes.
He was on a Majestic label out of Indianapolis, and a guy, Richie somebody was his... what was
Richie
his manager?
Bennett.
His manager was I forget.
Jim Bogart.
Jim Bogart, and I was on WPFR. He was from Brazil, Indiana, and he used to come play little gymnasiums for us with wingtip shoes and all that kind of shit. And Henry's big. If you ask Henry why he didn't make it, is because CBS had the Fabulous Thunderbirds and like maybe a new Joan Jett or some bullshit at that time, and he didn't get the push. But I was the first radio personality in 1985 to put Henry on the radio.
Now, did he ever tell you that story? Like a
no, I came a little later. I came on the 87, the first release.
When he had the backup singer for John Cougar Mellencamp, the girl.
That's correct.
Mimi Mapes. Yeah, Mimi Mapes.
So was he all sour the whole time you were managing? I would have been there.
We got to see Mimi's Mapes one night. It was
did
awesome.
You? Yeah, I think Henry might have been fucking Mimi back in the day. Mm-hmm. I think so, man.
Well, so Billy.
Henry Lee Summer.
Billy was mixing sound, house, front of house sound for Henry Lee Summer, and I got Henry Lee Summer to open for my first headlining summer tour because he was a motherfucker of an entertainer.
I mean, fucking play any cover.
Blow the roof off the gymnasium.
He could play Louis Kingsman, Louis Louis, all that shit.
So for me, it was like pay it forward because the REO guys were so great to me and when I opened for them. So I would tell everybody, get out there and see Henry Lee Summer. And so we did a summer tour together. And this one night I went out watching Henry Lee's show. And I'm going, why does Henry Lee's show sound so much better than mine? And it's because of Billy. So I stole Billy from Henry Lee Summer at the end of the tour. And he's been with me ever since.
When was the first year you worked for Henry Lee? 87?
Yes.
You might have mixed me when he used to bring a couple DJs up on stage and we'd do Louis Louis or whatever by the Kingsmen. And that was me and a guy named Kerry Gray, and we did it at like Rockville High School. We did it at the Indiana State big ass theater. We did it at that outdoor park in Deming Park in Terre Haute. Oh, you were after all that?
Yeah, I was after all that.
Yeah. The guy, so I used to bring up on stage, and then the guitar player, they play like another cover, and the guitar player would give me a guitar, right? And he'd go around the stack, and I'd act like I was fucking playing the guitar, and everybody would think I was, because all those stupid hillbillies from Indiana, they don't fucking know. I wasn't hitting the strings. I mean, I was in there fucking hitting the strings, but he was, back in the day, a showman. He could play.
Great showman.
And then he got on fucking meth.
Yeah. Now he's on an episode of Cops.
Yeah. Hank Schwartz.
Shame.
Got on Ambien / meth, and it'll do it to you, man.
It's a shame.
Remember this right here?
Yeah, I heard this song in forever. You can have a
cage, Queens. And this thing charted like 17, I think.
Yep.
Down in New Orleans.
Down in New Orleans. And take a movie star.
He was, So let me ask you a question. I mean, do you believe that? Like, he just didn't get pushed correctly by, because why didn't Henry Lee make it? Just because he was just too hickish, or it just was the music era that we were in, or?
I'm going to say I think it's just didn't have the right management up front. Didn't have the right push.
Right.
But, you know, I traded up.
Oh, obviously. You went from a guy that's doing meth to a guy that sold 30 million plus fucking records and still on the road and
so
a good guy.
When Richard came to you, were you like, gee, I could stay with Henry Lee Summer or I could
and look at Mimi Mapes' titties decision? Or I could maybe keep a good paycheck here going for 20-some years?
It was pretty much a no-brainer.
But, man, I think he's part of a group called the Alligator Brothers now out of Indiana, and I think that, you know, they just do their little Indiana gigs. I think you can get them for like $1,800 a night or something like that, and it's sad, man, because the guy was, you know what, because we never knew him the way you knew him and the way I knew him as being, he didn't drink, he didn't get high, he didn't do any of that shit. In fact, I know guys backstage that would get high and shit, he'd be like, man, get that shit out of here. He was never that way, kind of like Midwestern Indiana kind of deal, and then all of a sudden he just got all this, went off the fucking deep end.
I just remember he was one of those people. It's kind of like a lot of guys in radio that we all know that it's like, dude, you don't talk like that at all off the air,
right,
you know?
Right.
Henry Lee, when he was on stage, he was this southern kind of, you know, almost redneck hillbilly.
Good old boy.
Good old boy. And he'd be like, what y'all up to? And then off stage you go, Richard, can we negotiate a couple more months?
He'd be like, Ted Hoot, Indiana, what's going on? They'd be like, hey, Richard, let's talk.
Yeah, like totally no, you know, southern boy thing off stage. It was kind of funny.
You toured
Darling
with so many
Danielle
people.
Don't, Wingtip Shoes. Remember all that? God, Rich, I know you do. Spice, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, who is the biggest dick that you ever toured with? I mean, you've been around the
Night
block.
Night Ranger.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they turned the lights and sound off on us.
See, now we've heard a lot.
That was their management, move, or were the guys in the band?
It was kind of everybody. They were all kind of assholes.
Nice. And look at those assholes now, man. Sister, I mean, you know, Crystal, you're out still doing your shit, and I don't think they're.
Oh, they're still doing it. They played Lowry Park Zoo about a year ago for some food festival.
But that was sort of like that was a great lesson too, because we had toured with REO Speedwagon for about 3 months, and then we had they went off the road. And I was headlining smaller places, but we were still wanting to do like the bigger places. So we got an offer to open for Night Ranger on like 3 shows. And then we went back to REO a few weeks after that, right? So we go out and with Nightmare Ranger, as I used to call them.
Yeah.
And they were such fucking assholes. And so like a couple weeks later, when we went back, the first show with REO, I hugged every guy. Kevin, I love you. And the band. I was like, you guys. And they would always, like, Aria would always let us have a sound check. And, like, they were just such total mensches.
What
you know?
Did Night Ranger do that was so bad? I mean, obviously,
well,
turn
they wouldn't
the lights
let
and
us
sound
have a sound check. They wouldn't
no sound
let us
check.
Have a sound check. And then, and frankly, at that time, I was having a lot more success than they were.
So they were
That's
jealous.
The problem.
So the crowd was, like, going crazy, right? And literally, I'm not talking like, I understand if we were going like 5 or 6 minutes over or something, but we were about to go 90 seconds over on the Don't Mean Nothing, on the big hit.
Right. Oh, God. And on the grand finale.
Shut us off.
Oh, man.
90 seconds over.
And they got booed. The audience booed them.
Growing up,
that was awesome.
Growing up, you know, 2 years within me, growing up in Indiana, wanted to get your opinion on this guy. We'll see if you're a fan of this guy. I'm a huge fan. Have you ever had any interaction with John?
Just a little bit, and
I've heard mixed things about John. I've heard he's very intense.
I've heard mixed things too, but I can tell you this, and it's not an interesting story, so I won't bore you with the details. But there was something that went down in my business life that only John Mellencamp could corroborate something that was going on, and I ended up having to fire my manager over it. John was. He was so great with me. I mean, he was like, he told me the truth and he helped me out. And so I have nothing but props.
I've heard a lot of good things. He's a pretty astute businessman. Like, he's pretty with it.
Yeah.
And Henry used to open up for Cougar all the time in Indiana. And so that's the only interaction I ever had was with
You know
with,
what song
Henry.
Nobody remembers and because it wasn't a hit, but I thought it was so cool was a song called Human Wheels. Remember that song?
No.
Check out Human Wheels by
John
Mellencamp. Yeah.
This is always one of my favorites. This is kind of after he started. I always loved Cherry Bomb. I always loved that one. And then some of his, wasn't I Need a Lover the real early stuff?
That was when he was Johnny Cougar.
Yeah. And when I was in Indiana back like in 77, 76, 78, he used to tour around the state with a U-Haul. It said Johnny Cougar before he'd really made it. And you could still see him like in a high school kind of deal back
in
the day.
Spice, like you were talking about paying your dues.
Yeah.
That dude paid his dues.
Oh, yeah.
See, and I appreciate that. Like, that's why I'm with you. I can't respect any of these American Idol artists because they didn't do shit to get it. They didn't earn it.
Look at that. He sold some records now, hasn't he? I mean, he sold some records.
Shitload of records.
He's about this tall, though. He's about that fucking tall.
He's the guy that poses for trophies.
Yeah, he does. He's the anyway, Richard, we've been told. I heard he has to leave at 11.
Well, he's got
to
get loaded in Orlando.
He's got to load in.
Which, by the way, he'll be at Plaza Theater tonight in Orlando if you're around that area.
And then he's going to be in Fort Pierce.
Yep.
Saturday. Then he's out.
Then he goes to Vienna.
Vienna?
What?
Austria?
No, Taipei.
I have no idea what that is.
Where's Vienna?
You know where Taipei
I thought it was a sausage.
No, it says Vienna on your schedule.
Oh, where's Vienna, Billy? Outside of D.C. Oh, yeah. I'm doing those shows with Matt Scannell next month.
Oh, cool.
As an acoustic duo. And then the band and I are going to Taipei in the middle of April, too.
Now, Richard, do you have any new stuff out?
Coming out over probably by the end of the summer.
And
almost done.
RichardMarks.com? I mean, oddly enough.
RichardMarks.com.
For the new stuff.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, man, how much of a breath of fresh air you are and how much I enjoyed seeing
Same
you today.
Same here, man. It was really fun.
I'm sorry
Thanks
about asking about
me.
Your dad's penis size. I mean,
No, it was cool because I always remember.
That was a natural tie-in.
I thought it was like, continuity.
If I said, hey, man, I got a big gold chain in the back, wouldn't you say, how fucking big is it? Well,
yeah.
I mean, when you said big, I mean, I just,
right.
Sorry about that.
Right. You were like, so did you ever see how big your dad's dick was?
That's kind of weird.
Logical. Dude.
Here I'm talking about poor guy in the back with a cheesy-ass mustache.
You made an impression on me.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if it's a good one, though, Richard.
So when I call you and say, hey, can we get Lifehouse in the studio? Can you hook us up? And I'll be like, this is the Bubba Show. You'll be like, who? You know, Bubba, the guy who asked how big your dad's penis is. You're like,
oh, those guys.
I wanted to make a good impression. Like, see, he's got good thoughts of Howard, Britt. Now he's, and Howard, you know, Howard's usually the most shocking guy.
Right.
And I now he thinks, God, that fat guy from fucking Florida asked how bad.
I got nothing but love for you, man.
Well, I apologize.
I had fun.
We had fun as well. And I got to tell you, man, you're very, very nice. And you're just a breath of fresh air because we've had a lot of people in here. And you and Kevin, just like some of the old timer. Not that you're old timer, but you know.
You were going. It was
kick
it
his
was
ass,
going
man.
Really well.
Kick his
like,
ass.
Listen, you're a bit of an old timer, but
and he's only 2 years older than me. God, look at how fucking pathetic I am. I'm 44 and I haven't sold shit. And you know this guy, and we're from 120 miles from each other. This guy's 46, successful, been married longer than I've could even think about being married. I got a prenup. He didn't need one. His wife truly loves him. My wife loves me for my money. And you know, and he's got three lovely kids and sold 30 million records. And I just am a,
that sounds like a country song you could write.
Yeah, I'm a nomad of radio. Been fired, you know, this many fucking times. Scrambling around. Interviewing successful men like him.
By the way, country music, Keith Urban, you wrote that hit with him. Was he ever on, did you ever see him on meth? While you were working with him? Was he all fuckered up?
Not that I was aware of.
He was never fuckered up?
Not so much. Not so much.
He should be a politician, Richard. Should. Anyway, man, thank you so very much, Richard.
Hey, I ragged on a couple guys, right?
That's right. He brought it.
You don't need to be validated.
Here's what I'll tell you about Keith Urban. You want me to rag?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, rag.
You want me to tell you something about
Absolutely.
Keith Urban? Keith Urban is a really great guy, and Henry Rollins is a prick.
There you go. And I heard you're going to write Henry a letter saying, get the fuck out of the business.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of the business, Henry. I've been told that you told me again. Well, fuck you. You get out of the business first.
I heard that Henry Rollins was thinking of retiring, and I thought, from what?
I can name a bunch of movies he's been in.
Hey, Richard Marx says, I've sold 30 million fucking records. Fuck movies, bitch. That's what I'm saying. Richard, thank you so very much.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Have a good weekend. And tonight, where, Spice, where?
Tonight's at Orlando at the Plaza Theater.
Plaza Theater. RichardMarx.com. The Richard Marx. With not the mullet anymore. More stylish.
The artist formerly known as Popular.